How dare you?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Obama administration has been trying to get mortgage lenders to help homeowners avoid foreclosure. This morning, they're trying a little public shame. The government reports lenders have offered help to only 15% of homeowners eligible for the administration's loan modification program. And the report names names of loan servicing companies that the government says are not doing enough to help. The names include American Home Mortgage Servicing, National City Bank. The report says neither of those companies have modified a single loan. Is this public outing fair, and will it work? Joining us live is Chris Mayer, Senior Vice Dean and a real estate professor at the Columbia Business School. Good morning.
Hi, Bill.
So we start with the first question. Is it fair to name lenders and servicers who allegedly aren't doing enough on foreclosures?
Well, I think the idea of sort of a public outing is not my favorite way to conduct government. These are complicated programs, and the government hasn't made it easy to participate all the time. But no, I don't think it's fair to sort of call people out. I'd prefer other methods.
Well, the administration says some of these services have been outright fraudulent, not telling homeowners about their status or their options.
Well, are all servicers doing a good job? Absolutely not. There are servicers who are really pursuing things that are a serious problem. But there is recourse to get rid of the servicers, including by some investors. And my sort of preferred approach would be to work with investors to get rid of the servicers who are being ineffective at this.
Okay, so next question. Whether it's fair or not, Chris, do you think this naming names might be effective?
I think it's always effective, at least in the short run, but the news cycles are short. And what are you going to do? Call somebody up on the phone and say, hey, by the way, I just read your name on the list of shame, the wall of shame, and then what? So I think that, you know, yes, this will get headlines for a day, but if we really want to work with and kind of get this going, we're going to have to work with investors to continue to move the process.
In just a few seconds, Chris, some people have pointed out that some of the big companies, Bank of America, Citigroup, et cetera, that have gotten bailout money might be sensitive to bad publicity, but that a lot of these little loan servicers are not.
I completely agree. You know, the big companies are already working incredibly hard. That does not mean that they get an A for their successes. But, you know, this is an unprecedented scale and it's an unprecedented problem. And it isn't, you know, we're not going to snap our fingers and get immediate answers.
Professor Chris Mayer at Columbia Business School, thank you.
Good to join you, Bill.
A few minutes ago, the Commerce Department reported consumer spending rose slightly more than expected in June. This came even as income saw their biggest drop in 4.5 years. European stocks are lower this morning. Asian shares were mixed earlier in the day. Toyota reported an $800 million quarterly loss that was actually better than expected. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 closed above that 1,000 mark for the first time since November, and the Dow gained 115 and closed at 9,286. Germany's government is scheduled to hold talks today with the two final bidders for GM's European operations, also known as Opel. Europe is the biggest car market in the world, but as Jill Barshay reports, post-bankruptcy GM does not see much growth potential there.
GM sees its future in Asia, South America, and the Middle East, but not Europe. Craig Fitzgerald is an automotive analyst at Plante & Moran. He says GM's decision to turn its back on Europe is a tough one.
What they are doing is de-emphasizing Europe, so they've got the capital available to support what they think are the stronger growth markets.
But Fitzgerald says GM isn't giving up on Opel or Europe altogether. It'll retain a stake in the German company.
They will try to maintain their hold on Europe while not committing significant capital to their European operations.
GM wants to pick a buyer that will agree to the closest business alliance, to do things like buy parts together and share designs and technologies. The German government's throwing money into the deal too, but it has different priorities. It wants guaranteed employment for German workers. I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
The dollar is falling again. In fact, when you stack it up against other major currencies, it's at its lowest level since right after the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Here's more from Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
When fears about the global economy reached fever pitch, investors fled to the safety of the dollar. Now they're doing just the opposite. To give you an idea, it's about $1.70 to the British pound right now and $1.45 to the euro. Part of that is because as corporate results improve, investors are willing to take on more risk again. Howard Wieldon, senior strategist at BGC Partners in London, says that's leading some to overseas markets.
Corporate results in the U.S. are good. The problem is that the real growth that we're seeing is limited to China, India, and indeed the Far East as a whole.
Indeed, the U.S. economy shrank 1% in the second quarter, a lower-than-expected amount, which Wieldon says investors are attributing to government spending.
The fear is that at some point when the Fed decides to move on interest rates, which it will have to do at some point, that will reintroduce inflation.
And send commodity prices higher as investors look for more profitable opportunities than the greenback. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, this is the kind of economic benefits you can get when you host a major world soccer event. The Russian team's fan club has issued an advisory to the team's supporters who travel to Wales for next month's World Cup qualifier. Drink the whiskey there. It will keep away swine flu. The British Health Agency says Britain saw 110,000 new swine flu cases in the last week of July. Russia's top doctor is telling citizens not to go to the UK, but the head of the Russian fan club says if you do go, there is no disinfectant like Welsh whiskey. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.